Today we have a great honor to have a speaker who is going to tell us all about the Regina Region Local Immigration Partner, its efforts on indirect service projects to strengthen and support local capacity to welcome, settle, and integrate newcomers. As Regina's population becomes more diverse, and the work of the, I'm just going to say the letters, RRLIP, and its partners become more demanding and also more rewarding. I'd like to welcome Janelle.
So hello, everyone. I'm really happy to see one familiar face in the audience today. And welcome and hello to everyone that is on Zoom. So my name is Janelle Renee Rempel, and I am very fortunate and privileged to be the Community Liaison and Special Projects Coordinator for the Regina Region Local Immigration Partnership. And yes, I've practiced saying that because it's a lot. Thank you so much, Sandy, for the lovely introduction. And as you mentioned, we are here in Regina to support the community in welcoming, settling, and integrating newcomers. So first, I just want to talk about what is a local immigration partnership. I want to just say how touched I am by your service so far. And this is my first time in this building, my first time at this congregation, and I'm just really touched by the way that you're conducting yourselves and the things that you're bringing into your service. So I just want to acknowledge that before I go into maybe some of the more, I don't know, not less heartful parts. I don't know. Anyway, you can fill in the blank with whatever adjective you like as you listen to the talk. I'll just talk about generally what are local immigration partnerships, or LIPs. This says there are around 80 local immigration partnerships across Canada. There may be more. It might even be up to around 100. I don't know the exact number at this time. And then there are also ZIPs, or zonal immigration partnerships, and RIF, which is the francophone version of a LIP. I don't know if I can. Réseau d'immigration francophone, I think, is the French for that acronym. So we do have a RIF that covers all of Saskatchewan, and then we have several LIPs. I don't believe we have any ZIPs in Saskatchewan, but there are maybe 5 or 6 LIPs in other, like here in Regina. We are the one for Regina, and then there are others as well. And some of them cover regions rather than particular, you know, towns or cities. So they'll be they'll have a bit broader range. The Regina one, as the name implies, is just covering Regina. And our region, we do have the word region in the title from our beginning, which was in 2014. But really our region is the city. We don't really go too far outside of that. So as it says here, the primary activities of a LIP, so identifying local needs through things like community consultation, and we do that in a number of ways, and then a bit of research, and IAT input. I'll talk more about the IAT, but that acronym is just the Immigrant Advisory Table, a group that we really value for their input into the work we do. And I should say, I'm saying we, let me tell you a little about this is off script, but about my team that I have the good fortune to work with. So we are a team of 3, and there's a project manager, the assistant manager, and then myself. And I have been with the RLIP just in the last couple of years. I started in September 2021, and the previous project manager and assistant manager just retired at the end of December, and we now have a new project manager and a new assistant manager that have just started in January. So they're really just getting oriented still at this point. So that's who I'm saying when I say we, as well as a lot of community partners, and I'll talk more about that as well. Certainly those community partners come into the community consultation pieces of what we do and other tables, groups that we work with. So then another huge part of what we do is facilitating local communication and relationships. So we convene a lot of meetings, and currently they are mostly on Zoom. They're mostly virtual. And we are there just facilitating those important conversations between various groups, and it's on all sorts of different topics. So as you can imagine, the process of settling in Regina or any other community across Canada is a complex thing and requires a lot of different partners, and some of you in the room probably know more about that than I do, so I'm definitely not an expert, but I'm learning a lot, and that's a big part of this role as well. So currently, the main sort of challenges to settlement here are things around employment. By far, that is the biggest challenge. Housing is another huge one. And then we did a survey 2022, that we just asked generally what are the top challenges. And one of them that came up more in that survey than it had previously is mental and emotional wellness and social connections. And that you can, I mean, logically, probably the pandemic played a part in that, but also then it played a part in raising our awareness and our comfort in speaking about mental health, right? And we're using the term mental and emotional wellness here because that was what was recommended to us by our immigrant advisory table and others, because the term mental health can sometimes have some stigma attached to it, or it just gets used in lots of different ways for different things. So we have been using this terminology instead, mental and emotional wellness, now for a little while. And then the fifth one, which is also really important, anti-racism or discrimination or cultural bridging is another way that we talk about that. And so for each of those priorities, we do have like a working group or a committee that sort of focus on those things. Again, I'm just going to pull back out to kind of the general ARLIP is how we say that, to make it as short as possible. But, as was mentioned, we work to strengthen the community's capacity to welcome, settle, and integrate newcomers. So what that means is we're an indirect service project. So we are not actually running programs or developing programs or services that, are delivered directly to newcomers. We're really here for everyone who is doing that, or everyone and anyone in the community who wants to be part of helping welcome people from other countries in any way. So again, that's a really broad sort of mandate, if you will, right? It can come up in all sorts of ways. We are funded by the Government of Canada through IRCC, or the Immigrant and Refugee and Citizenship Canada part of the Government of Canada. And we're overseen locally by a local partnership council. So it's made up of people from many different sectors, organizations from many different sectors, including the city of Regina itself, different levels of government, the police, so public safety folks. We have the public library, the post-secondary educational institutions, the Board of Education. It's just very, very broad, again, in its membership. And they're there to both sort of guide us, but also it's how we connect then as well, one of the ways we connect into the community more broadly. And then, as I mentioned, the Immigrant Advisory Table. So these, I'm going to talk more about them in the next slide, so we can proceed to that one. That's fine. Yeah, we can take a second. So the Immigrant Advisory Table are all individuals with lived experience as newcomers. So they might have come a long time ago, they might have just arrived recently, but they're all people who've come from other countries and are here in Regina. And we really rely on them to give us a sense of what are the things that are going on in the community, in different cultural groups, ethnic groups, language groups. So we ask them to speak from their own experience and also sort of to keep an ear open for what are the challenges that other folks are facing, and also what are the opportunities that might exist. So we have a picture here from pre-COVID days where we were meeting in person in Wascana Park, and it's the group has definitely shrunk during the pandemic. We do want to try to rebuild or grow that group again in the next year or two and beyond. So one of the major things that they do is to, as I said, kind of give us input, share their insights, and any, you know, concerns or any ideas they have for how we can be more effective in the community. And then the other bonus, or one of the other bonuses of being part of our IAT, is that then folks can make new friends, new community connections, they kind of get to network. And we do also have sometimes trainings or other professional development or personal development opportunities that we like to share with them. And also, since we are becoming a little bit better known as we continue on in our life as the ARLIP. We do have stakeholders in the community that come to us wanting to speak with our IAT, wanting to get their perspective on maybe plans for something that's, you know, in development or being talked about for the future. For example, the pool facility, right? The changes and renovations to the pool facility in Regina, the city came to us and said, we'd like to hear from newcomers about what they'd like to see in a facility such as that. Lots of other examples too from over the years. And so it's a really great opportunity then for these newcomers or people with lived experience as newcomers, whether, you know, past or recent, to really have an impact in the community and be able to share their insights in a way that can actually bring change here in Regina. So that's quite exciting, and again, we really value that group a lot. Okay, so then these are some of the other groups that we also convene. As I said, we had those five priorities that I mentioned before, and we have working groups or committees that kind of tackle some aspect of each of those. Some of you here are already aware of the local private sponsorship group. I know, I think, Joanne, you mentioned you had been involved with that years ago, so that's really wonderful. I will say the folks in the private sponsorship realm, not just in this group, but in the larger sort of community of private sponsors, are amazing people and really I'm so impressed by the patience that they and endurance that they practice in really being committed to helping people come out of really difficult situations and find refuge here. And a lot of that is waiting and waiting and waiting until people are actually able to come. And then once they're here, it's kind of like, okay, now we do all the things to support them. And it's it can be very stressful and it can be, yeah. But anyway, so I've been so impressed as I've gotten to meet some of those folks and hear their stories and hear their experiences. It's a really amazing process. Then we have, I'm going to work my way up this list instead of down. So we have the Anti-Racism and Discrimination Working Group, which is, I think, one of the most dynamic meetings you can attend. It's really always such a rich discussion, and we're really working out in practice with each other in the group, things like reconciliation, things like cultural bridging between Indigenous and non-Indigenous members of our community. And it's like this little microcosm. We get to practice all of those skills while you're also hoping to sort of support the larger community in practicing or learning those skills. So yeah, so it's always a joy to be part of that group, those meetings. And then, we also have, two of the earliest groups that we started as the ARLIP are the Canadian Housing Advisory Committee. So as the name implies, it's about housing. And that is, again, stakeholders from the housing realm of Regina, so that we have a local realtor, we have Regina Housing, we have some of the settlement agencies on that committee, and then also the SASC Landlords Association. We did have SASC Housing sitting on it for a while as well. And sometimes, you know, representation on these different groups does kind of fluctuate over time as people are moving in and out of roles, of course. So yeah, so we see some shift in that. But again, really dynamic group. And one of the highlights of this past year with that committee, particularly, is that they got to have a meeting with the mayor recently after she had come around visiting one of the settlement agencies sort of community events, and we happened to be there. She stopped at our table and was showing, you know, great interest, and I really appreciated the time she took to speak with us. And then she asked a question related to housing. And so I said, well, we're not the experts. We don't have the answer to that question, but we do have people who probably will. So we invited her to come to our next meeting of the Canadian Housing Advisory Committee, or CHAC, to abbreviate that. We seem to like long, wordy names in this organization or this project, but yeah, and we abbreviate them. So yeah, so the CHAC got to meet with Mayor Masters and also the Director of Indigenous Relations at the city as well came to that meeting. And so that was a really, I think, productive conversation, especially in that those who were there really felt committed to meeting again and continuing to work together and collaborate. I'm going to come back to collaboration in a minute. I just want to finish these groups. So the labor market working group, I mentioned earlier that employment is by far the biggest challenge. So at least two-thirds of the people who responded to our survey identified employment as their top challenge. And so this is, again, one of the earliest groups that was started in the life of the ARLIP, so since 2014. And it is also made up, again, of like stakeholders in the sort of employment realm. So employment service providers, as well as we have, we have primarily it would be employment service providers in the city, but then also we bring in others who are connected in some way to employment, and can support that. And then one of the highlights there was, that we mounted sort of an event, in partnership with the public library last October, a newcomer employment readiness week, and it was sort of like workshops. You could come for 5 days, through the week. You could come to the George Bothwell branch and listen to people speaking from different agencies. So some of those employment service providers that are part of this group were there presenting about what they offer, or they were presenting how to, you know, adapt your resume, or how do you speak to the, you know, skills and experience you gained in your home country and previous countries that you visited on your way here, and how can you make that land for whoever is doing the hiring, right? So various aspects of that process were getting highlighted in those workshops. And again, also just a great opportunity to connect, network, to meet people, to have them meet you and sort of represent yourself as a prospective employee. In fact, one of the gentlemen who attended that that event, within I think 3 weeks of that event, he actually landed a job with one of the settlement agencies in town, and he's now working for them. So that was great. And then last but definitely not least, and this one is certainly dear to my heart, I do have the privilege of coordinating the Mental and Emotional Wellness Working Group, which just started in November of 2021. And we have an event coming up, so I invite you all to join it. It's going to be virtual, so it's available to everyone. And we're going to do kind of a community forum or a community event on supporting newcomers' mental and emotional wellness, particularly here in Regina. So we've invited some researchers to come and speak. They are people who've done research on mental and emotional wellness of immigrants and other newcomers within Saskatchewan and possibly within Regina. At least one of those researchers is also a practicing doctor here in Regina, so we want to hear their perspectives on ways to support newcomer mental and emotional wellness. And also we're hoping to add to that panel service providers, so we can hear from those right on the front of that work about what they need, what their challenges are, what they've learned, maybe promising practices that they can share. And we're also going to be sharing some of the ARLIP's activities from this past fiscal year, the 23-24 fiscal year, and our results of our survey this year, which is focused on mental and emotional wellness. So after we had the 2022 survey, and that challenge was really, it rose to the top for people, we wanted to dive deeper into what is really going on, what do people need for supports, and how would they like to receive those supports, right? What are the best methods for actually connecting and really supporting people? So whether it's about language barriers and overcoming those, or offering more culturally sensitive forms of support and service to support mental health or mental and emotional wellness, we wanted to see a deeper picture into that. So that survey closes on February 19th. So then about a week later, we'll be giving everyone the first chance to view what that survey tells us about this topic. So, yeah, well, I hope you all join us. I will be sharing my contact info and our website and things later on, so you can go there and find more info. So again, I'm not going to read all of this. I'll just highlight that we also, in addition to those five priorities that I've already spoken about, there are always things that are coming up. right, that just sort of arise as, oh, we need to respond to this situation. So the example I've given here is when we have arrivals of large numbers of refugees or displaced persons from particular parts of the world. For example, the Syrians that came a few years back and continue to arrive, Afghans, as you all know, more recently, and displaced Ukrainians. And then there are always global arrivals coming from all over the world at any time, not necessarily arriving on large charter flights, but, you know, coming, trickling in, getting here, however they're able to. And again, often with the support of private sponsors. And then there are also government-assisted refugees as well. So I might talk a little bit about that later, but I just want to say we have... When the Afghan arrivals started coming, the local settlement sector kind of came to us and said, we need to have meetings regularly in order to respond to this so that we can coordinate ourselves and all be working together and be on the same page. So we started this local response group at that time, and since then, it has gradually broadened to incorporate then displaced Ukrainians and the response to that. So we have the Ukrainian Canadian Congress, the Saskatchewan and Regina sort of offices of that, UCC, SASC. On this table, we also have the local settlement agencies, who are the Regina Open Door Society, the Regina Immigrant Women's Center, or RIWC, and what was until recently CFS Regina, which is now just rebranded, and they're called Rooted Connections, and those are the three settlement agencies here. So they are all on this group, and then we also sometimes have other folks joining too. So they are really, that again has been a really exciting group to watch as it's evolved from its beginning. We see how it's strengthening those relationships between those different organizations and in their work. We see how sometimes where there might have been some competition in the past, they're starting to really come into this spirit of collaboration and really work well to identify the gaps. I mean, when they're meeting regularly, it gives them the opportunity to say, okay, we're doing this thing. And then when we send it to you, then something happens. How do we, you know, bridge that gap? And so we've been able, as the RLIP staff, to just watch that happen in front of us. It's really quite exciting to see that happen. And then, yeah, we do also have some special projects. So currently, this little hashtag IW on the screen stands for a project called Immigrants Work. And again, I have the privilege of coordinating that locally. So World Education Services, I'm just going to double check if I have more info on... Not yet. Okay. So I may talk more about that, but I'll carry on with the slides just so I don't get too off track. So when I spoke about these three settlement agencies and the way that we facilitate the meetings between them, part of a very big part of our role as the RLIP is to remain neutral, right, and to provide that space that's safe for everyone else to come in and have the conversations they need to have. But we don't really have an agenda beyond let's support the community in welcoming, settling, integrating newcomers. So that's really important to us. Even though we are hosted by one of the local settlement agencies, we don't... We keep, and they also respect, kind of an arm's length relationship so that we are able to maintain this neutrality that then allows us to serve the community in this way of really being, just again, like I said, creating that safe space for those conversations. And sometimes they're difficult conversations, and sometimes people have to sort of challenge each other. And so it's helpful to have sort of that neutral facilitator of the conversation. And that's part of what we do. So then, sometimes our funder, IRCC, comes to us and asks us to support special projects. So currently, over the past few months, there has been this evaluation of a pilot project that they have funded that has one sort of central agency offering what is called NARS, or Needs and Assets Assessment and Referral. What that means is when someone arrives here, one of the first things hopefully they do is go to that agency, which in our case is IWS, which is Immigrant Women of Saskatoon, but they also have an office here in Regina, and they also run the LARC program, or Language Assessment and Referral program. So you may have heard of that, LARC, IWS. So they also are the agency that was given the contract to do this NARS assessment. We sometimes are in a role to sort of help navigate the relationships between other agencies that are working in the settlement sector. And in this case, the funder of the NARS pilot project came to us, and they're also our funder, and said, would you please coordinate this assessment of that pilot so we can see, like, we can evaluate. Is it working? How is it working? What are the things that need to be changed? And you can, I'm sure, imagine that some of the conversations, again, a little difficult. People are not just saying, oh yeah, it's wonderful. They're saying, well, this didn't really work very well, and, you know, it shouldn't be like this. So again, you need that sort of neutral facilitator, or like someone to gather that information. So we actually then contracted, we convened a committee. We then contracted some consultants to do the actual research parts of that process. And so again, it's about facilitating. It's about drawing the resources together where they're needed and then delivering what's needed in the community. So we've become very trusted in the community, in the settlement sector especially, and really proud of that, and really work hard to maintain that trusted position of neutrality, and people know they can come to us and they can speak honestly with us, and we will not like go and spread that around, but we will share it as needed in a confidential and anonymous way. Yeah, so that's an important piece of our work as well. All right, so if you'd like to know more, you can visit our website, which is hopefully very simple. It's just rrlip.ca. You actually don't need to put in the three W's ahead of that. It will come up. And we do also have a number of sort of resources, or, you know, different kinds of information that we've gathered, mostly about living in Regina, right? Things people might need to know as they're coming here to this city, and where can I find, you know, food that I recognize and I enjoy eating and goes with my, you know, it's what my gut is used to eating. So where can I find that in Regina? We have an ethnic grocery stores list, or multicultural grocery stores list. And then we also have a list of different cultural or faith groups and other kind of multicultural faith groups, I guess, as well, like groups that are actually meeting across different cultures and faiths, like this congregation as well. We have really practical resources, like how to ride Regina Transit, and we just updated that one. And there's another one that gives people the steps of how to get your driver's license in Saskatchewan, and then also on the back of that sheet, a list of driving instructors that actually do the instruction in other languages than English. So that's a really useful one for folks to have. And again, we have lists of places to access mental health or mental and emotional wellness supports, and many, many others. But those are just some. So you can have a look at that. There are a couple of tabs that are for resources. We also have some welcome videos that we created with Access Now TV a couple years back. Really lovely two videos. One that's really just sort of welcome to Regina from, again, many different sectors of the community. And then one that sort of highlights the settlement sector agencies as well for newcomers. So, okay, we can move on to the next. I think it's just a little more detail about our website. So our website does have a Google Translate option. So if people are coming to this and English is not their first language, they are able to translate most of the content of the actual website itself. The resources, unfortunately, it doesn't go so far as to translate all of those into other languages. We have contracted people to translate some of our resources, and then we've also run into some challenges with that, so we've had to pull some of those other language resources off of our website until we can get those issues figured out, whether it's about incorrect translation of things, we had an issue with that, or that, you know, photos within the resource happened to be copyrighted and we didn't realize that when we created the resource. So there's been a few little hiccups that we have to go back and fix, but that is an option, and it's been really lovely when I go out to community events and I'm able to, you know, we have newcomers walk up to the table and English isn't their first language, and I can say, okay, tell me what language you do speak or read, and I can switch the website into that right in front of them, and then they can be reading about our, you know, what we do in their language. We also publish a blog approximately weekly. As I mentioned, we've just gone through this major management transition, and so it has taken a bit of a break through December and January, and we're just getting it going again. But we try to share anything that might be relevant to immigration or settlement here in Regina things that are happening in the community, different service agency information when those are coming up as well. And so that's also on our webpage. You can sign up for that really easily. Just put your name and email into that little black box that you'll see at the bottom of the homepage. And I just have a couple more slides here. This is how you can contact us. So you can see I'm up there, the big long title at the bottom of those three blue points. And then I'm really pleased to be working with Musarat Parveen, who is our new project manager, rather. And she actually was working at Regina Open Door before she came and joined the RLIP. And just a really lovely... I'm so grateful, actually, for both of these managers. They've been very kind and very supportive already just in the few weeks that we've been working together, and we have a lovely rapport that's growing. So really love that. And they're also both quite experienced in the settlement sector in Regina, and both of them have also lived experience coming here from other countries as well. So the assistant manager is Sonika Chowdhury, and then myself. And we do have a phone. If you call that number, you'll get me. I'm the person at the other end of the phone. And you can also visit us online, and there is also an option to email us at the bottom of the page. It's very, very tiny on this slide, but so this part is where you can subscribe to the blog, and then this is our phone number, and you can click this. It says email us. When you get there, you'll see it. Please do visit the website. And you can then send us any questions or anything that you might have through that email us form. And that brings me to the end.
Thank you very much for that.